Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Katie.
Hi, Teresa.
How you doing?
Do you hear her?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just let it go. I'm just going to turn the volume down a little bit. Unless she gets out of hand, then she can sit down. I'm great. Tom's not home, so.
There we go. I was like, where's Tom?
Yeah, he's not here. Well, work, and he booked an appointment for the GMC.
Okay. To get
service. We have, like, no oil. And he's like, we are so overdue. So of course, he's like, you should be fine. I was like, I should be fine.
Yeah.
She'll sit down in a minute. She had a really rough day.
Why? Well,
I don't know. Like, she got home. She didn't take a nap today.
Oh.
Which, that happens, and she can rally. I woke her up in my parents' car. She was like, oh, mama, hi. Oh, like, so happy. The minute we got inside, it was like, I've never seen her. Like, even my mom and dad were like, should we be worried? Like, she's never had this kind of a breakdown before. It was like an hour of just nothing worked. It was ridiculous.
I mean, I think that's turning too.
It's turning too, but like, it was like one of those, like, this isn't, I know what her tantrums look like. And this was like vastly, like, it almost was like, is there something wrong? Like, is there something bothering you? So like, I kept trying to ask, like, what hurts? And she's like, nothing. And I'm like,
sometimes you just got to get it out.
She got out and I shot Tylenol down her throat. Cause I was like, you, at this point you have to have a headache. You've been crying for an hour and a half. So I was like, and I do like the tiniest of doses. Like, I don't give them the full dose just to take like an edge off, you know?
Sometimes you just need a really good cry. Sometimes you just need to throw a tantrum to really just get it in there.
You know? Which is what it is.
Yeah. I feel like I should have more of those.
Right? Shouldn't we all?
Yeah.
But we're anyway, gonna talk about tantrums.
Anyway, I was gonna say, I was gonna like try to like segue, like, speaking of tantrums, but I actually really like
throw some tantrums here and there, but in the right kind of a way. So
yeah. So anyway, we're here to talk about Quicksilver, of course. Which is like became super popular last summer. And then I mean, Katie, anybody said
made
that?
A reappearance too.
I think because it was picked up by a publisher. So now it's being published by Forever. I think it was originally indie.
Okay.
So I think like there was like a resurgence when it was traditionally published. But I know people like were dying for it last summer. And I was just like, I don't know if I believe the hype. Like, I don't know. And while I did really enjoy it, I don't think it lived up to the hype that I was seeing.
We will have to talk about this. This will be a point that we discuss.
Yes, because I think people, I mean, I think that a lot of people, and I know that we have said these things too, a lot of people would get stuck in the, oh my God, it's like the next ACOTAR, or like now people being like, it's the next Fourth Wing. You can love it just as much as those two books, but it's not.
I think, and again, we've said this on countless podcasts before, we're going to beat a dead horse here.
Yeah.
If a book makes you, like, to me, certain fantasy books such as like Queen of Shadows, Crescent City, book one in particular, A Court of Mist and Fury, they gave me feelings that are very hard to replicate. Like, those are like 5 million stars. And if this book lived up to that sort of book hype for you, I love that for you.
I wish too.
I do think sometimes, especially more so in the fantasy world versus a romance world, constantly saying it's the new Fourth Wing, I think we need as a book community to come up with a different phrase. If you want to explain that this book deserves the hype that you are, like, you're reading it and you're, I think we need to find a different way to then say it, because I think people put it out into the world of like, it's the next Fourth Wing, and in their minds, like, so this is gonna be a Fourth Wing. No. Maybe that person just meant it's gonna, the hype that they felt reading Quicksilver was the hype that they felt reading Fourth Wing.
Right. Maybe. But
But it, this is not like Fourth Wing. This is not like ACOTAR. This is not like Throne of Glass. This is let Quicksilver be Quicksilver, please.
Let it. Let's just let them rest. And I like when people do recommendations like, oh, if you read this and like you should try this.
I do like those also. Same.
But yeah, but it's not, I mean, like,
this book is this.
No, but Quicksilver really, it followed the very, and I'm sorry, this might like come up. I gave this 4 stars. I liked it, but I'm just kidding. It followed the very generic, like, fantasy book, the dark haired, brooding love interest. Like, he's like a little misunderstood and he has trauma. And like the kind of headstrong female main character who like is supposed to like, you know, save the world and who's kind of like a badass and like can fight and can do this and can do this. Like it just kind of followed that archetype of fantasy romance books or romanticy books, whatever. And I think that, you know, I really like the story and I'm definitely going to read the next book. Like the way that this book ended, I'm really excited to see where the story goes, but I don't think that it was like a fun story to read, but I don't think it was anything that was like reinventing the wheel.
I have to agree with you. And I will say, I really do enjoy a headstrong female main character. And I do love a male main character who's very broody. They're kind of like my go-tos. However, I think as they develop throughout the book, whether it's in growth or just as they progress throughout the story, you have to keep things true to the characters. And I will say for our dear friend Kingfisher.
Okay, sidebar, Kingfisher is the worst name.
We couldn't think of anything else. Nothing else.
Fisher, fine. I mean, not like in a fantasy book, but like Kingfisher, which I'm like thinking maybe something's gonna come of like why he was named this. His mom like had a vision and he's like, there's like a reason. But there is nothing less sexy than the name Kingfisher.
Kingfisher. It does nothing for me.
No.
It does not do anything. No.
Anyway, go on.
I feel, again, he's broody, right? Like, he's kind of being a little mean to her, very standoffish. Would it made more sense for there to be, like, a bit more pining, a bit more tension, like, maybe some groveling depending upon what's going on? Like, almost, like in the sense of, like, I don't want you, but I want you. Like, that kind of a thing. Like, like an internal battle, if you will, even. But I feel like just in a snap, he went from broody to a sap. And like,
yeah,
the professing of the love, I was like, this just, like, at one point I had to stop and I was like, I'm sorry, did I miss 50 pages?
Because it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Especially because of how horribly he was treating Saris in the beginning.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, like, you're my mate. And like,
and again, even like to admit that, like, or to realize that they, even if they knew that they were mates, I think they still could have done something. We've seen it before. Like, we could have done something to keep that tension going.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me.
No. And I feel like because they both accepted the mating bond so soon, like, my big worry is that the next, so I like read the blurb for the next book. And I know some people don't like to know, like, the blurbs or whatever, so I'm not going to spoil too much. But it sounds like the next book is, like, mostly them being separated. And I feel like when you get a couple, like, mated or, like, together too early on, then you have to deal with these, like, separations. Because then otherwise, like, what's the drama? Like, if they're mated, then what's the drama? But, like, I feel like he's going to leave to go back to wherever. He's going to have to go into one of the other realms. She's, like, now the queen of the vampires. So I feel like there's going to be this, like, mass separation between the two, just, like, for the sake of storytelling. And I hope that Callie Hart, the author, I hope that she does it well, because I know that if I read it and I'm annoyed, then I might not progress. Right now, I'm definitely going to. But yes, I hope that whatever the separation is, isn't extended. But based on the blurb, it kind of sounds like it is.
Mm-hmm. And I like, and I'm with you. And again, she's, how do you say your name? I can never say it. And I also listen to
Saris.
Saris. The audio is also phenomenal if you are an audio lover.
Yeah, the audio, I did hybrid. I mostly read, but I did listen some days driving to and from work. And the audio is done really well because it's a duet.
Yes. But I will say, even for like her character alone, she really doesn't get off the stubborn bandwagon. And again, totally fine, but she... You would just kind of expect at a certain point too, to kind of like to let up, to like have something occur that kind of makes you reflect internally to be like, I should take a step back.
She enraged me because she's a girl from, I guess what you would call the slums of like her realm. She's obviously like well versed in, like forging weapons, whatever, blacksmithing, I guess. I don't know what their correct word is, but she's obviously like, you know, that was her job. She had an apprenticeship. She's obviously well-versed in like hand-to-hand close combat with like daggers, but I don't get the impression that she's like well-versed in the other realms or like has a history or was like has a formal education. So she's now brought into this new world. And there's somebody there who's trying to help her be like, these are the customs in this new world that you're in. And Saris is just like acting like a brat about it. And like, we've talked about this traveling. If I go to another country, it's the right thing to do to like understand the customs so that you're not offending the people of that culture or just to like, you know, not stick out like a sore thumb or like whatever the reasoning is behind you wanting to learn the customs. It's just kind of like the right thing to do.
To make an effort, I think, stands out to people more so than you even.
And her just being like, I don't care about your customs. Yeah. I'm here for like one thing and one, like she was just being such a brat about everything. Yes. And like, I thought like, you know, her sitting at the wrong seat at like the table with Kingfisher and him like not telling her, that's fine. But when everyone's like, you like, he's going, this man, Belkin or whatever the king's name is, will kill you if you disrespect him. And her just being like, I don't give a shit. Like, he can't tell me what to do. Like, well, actually
he can.
He's the king of the realm you're in. So he can tell you what to do.
And for someone who's so headstrong about getting back to her brother, don't you then want to live? Like, I'm with you. Like, I was kind of like, just shut the fuck up and sit down and do what you're told for 7 seconds.
Just like, for a second, because again, like, in...
Or play the part, like...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Just play the part, like, you, like, you know, so that, you know, be smart.
Be smart. And again, for someone who has to live on the streets and rely on being conniving and a little shifty, I mean... I know for a fact you probably have to do this at work too. Sometimes you need to play on the other side, right? Like, not that you're going to be a liar, because that's no, but like, sometimes you need to lean into like the ask of someone or what they're like. You're reading a vibe, right? Like, it's body language, and then you do what you need to do and you move on. Like, it's how you relationship build also. Like, just kind of, I don't know, being open to what people are saying. But yeah, like, take the advice they're telling you. Swallow your pride and ego for 7 seconds. Realize that, hey, maybe if I just like do what they're telling me to do, maybe I'll overhear some information, figure out how to get to where I need to go. Like, shut the. Like, you're telling me that you figured out how to live and you made it all this time without being killed by doing this? I don't believe you.
I mean, it starts in the beginning when she steals the gauntlet. And like, even Karen, speaking of, who's my favorite character? Karen, of course.
About him. He deserves a whole little
You know, we'll get to Karen, don't you worry. And he's like, okay, I forget the, again, I'm the worst. We're bad at names, blah, 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 whatever. Her, like her guardian.
Oh yeah.
He's like, Elroy maybe? He's like, you have to get this out of here. And then her brother, okay, also her brother, another moron. He cannot follow a simple direction. And then she's making all these excuses for him, and then we find out he's 20 years old. So he's a full-blown adult who should know better. She basically is like, do not go, like, stay right here. I have to, like, sort this out. Do not go in that bag. What does he do? He leaves. He goes somewhere else. He opens the bag. The gauntlet's in there. The friggin' Queen's army is, like, you know, ransacking the third or whatever. And it's just like, I don't understand. Every character was just making the dumbest decisions. Well, her and, like, her brother... Honestly, the smartest character in the entire book was Carrion. Literally the smartest character.
So, and he even tells whatever her name is, like, you, like, you need to get out. This needs to leave. Like, I love that he just shoots back at her. I told you what to do and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
He also, even though Kingfisher went to go retrieve her brother, he came back with Carrion. And he's like, if anything, I can take your brother like a service. Like, he's fine. I got him out. I got him safe. Like, he shouldn't be here. Honestly, that would just cause fucking chaos. Let's be honest right now. But that ending. So Carrion not only brings... He brings a lot to the book. And I think if he wasn't in this book, I think this book would definitely be, to me, like a 3-star book. He brings humor, a little bit like of comic relief, if you will. Mm-hmm. But like, you know that there's something going on. Like, who is he? Yes, he was her ex-lover. There is a friendship still going there. There's no jealousy at all. He likes to kind of poke fun. He's off doing whatever he wants at the camps. But you, like, I don't know, I'm sure you felt the same way too. Like, after a few pages, I'm like, there's something up with this guy. Like, he's not shocked once he's pulled there. Like,
he really took to it so well. Yes. And I was like, is he just dumb?
Like, he's either dumb and just, like, good vibes kind of a guy, or there's something going on. Like, she was very taken aback by, wow, this is blah, blah, blah. And, like, she even calls him out, like, why are you so, like, cool with all this? And he's like, why not? Which, I mean, good mentality overall. But that ending.
Yeah.
When he starts to, like, play the guard off of, like, what he's saying. He's like, you should have let me introduce myself. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, here, there's something coming.
I know. His character, somebody else commented and they were like, oh, I don't know if I would have liked the book as much if it wasn't for Carrion. And a lot of, like, before starting it, the things I would see, like, they would mention this character. And yes. I was like, what's his deal going to be? Because I knew the name Kingfisher. So I was like, okay, Carrion's not the love interest. But now I'm like, oh, like, he could be my love interest.
No, I literally kid you not. Like, I don't think I would have rated this book 4 stars if he was not in this book.
No, he was by far the best character. Like, but there was so many. Okay, I liked Saris, but she annoyed me. Yes. I liked Kingfisher. He annoyed me. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. And sorry if I'm butchering her name. Danya?
I think so.
That girl deserves death.
Agreed.
She was so... Okay, I am a big supporter of a strong-willed, takes-no-bullshit female character. What I don't support are dumb bitches.
Preach.
And Danya was a dumb bitch. And she proved it over and over and over and over and over again. And then, like, finally at the end, like, you kind of think that she's, like, maybe, like, getting, like, the hint and, like, she's not going to be a brat anymore. And then the first thing she does is become a brat. She just, like, she's just annoying. She annoyed the shit out of me the entire time. I forget the other character's name, the one who sings. Lothan?
I couldn't tell you.
All right, well, I liked him. And I thought Renfist was adorable, and he's obviously in love with Everlane. Do you disagree?
I don't remember these people.
That's good. So Renfist is Kingfisher's best friend, who's been in control of the army.
Okay, thank you.
And then Everlane is Kingfisher's sister, who they save at the end from the vampires. She's like the first person that Saris meets.
Okay, yes, yes.
Ren is in love with Everlane. Like, he loves her.
Okay. I don't remember. I was looking back to my talks of I was like, I think I have more points to bring up about the Cersei bitch, but
oh yeah, bring it up.
Okay, so this bothers me about the book also. First off, it's over 600 pages.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be. Especially as a first book in the series, especially as a first author, whatever. This is the shit that kind of pissed me off throughout the whole story also. They really drive home all the time she spends in the Forge. For Carrion to make a passing comment and just go, just talk to it. Just talk to Quicksilver. Yep. Which, okay, fine. Maybe it sounds like a very Carrion comment to make, but the fact that it was that simple and then in one night they basically create this sword, I'm like, so she spent all this fucking time in that goddamn forge for one night of work.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sword. Now, what also bothers me, and I was kind of waiting for this when they were in that like thingy-majiggy, you know what I'm saying? Like the mm-hmm. thingy-majiggy. She is supposed to be an alchemist, and they've alluded pretty much the fact that, like, I don't pick up breadcrumbs. It's basically spelled out for you that she's like the most powerful alchemist of
their generation, or like yes. all time. Yeah.
And I get it. You don't have any sort of training, probably because she's stubborn as fuck and wouldn't take to it anyway. But you would assume almost like a Bryce, right? Not to compare. We do this all the time. But you would think that even if it was like a burst because of emotion, a lot of emotion typically is tied to magic and mm-hmm. how it is released. You would think that in some kind of hostile life or death-ish moment that something would occur. And we don't see any sort of power aside from the fact that she can talk to Quicksilver.
Yeah. And like, I don't
want to better have more, less of the separatey and more of the magic-y.
Like, I need to see Sarah sat her ass down in a library.
Yes.
Like learning the history of yes. the realm that she's in and the Quicksilver and like mm-hmm. the implications of now the realms being like, I need her to sit her ass down and like go to school.
Yes.
Because now she's going to be leading a horde of vampires. Because she's like the first of her kind. She's half fae, half vampire. And cool. I like the new vampire guy, Thaddeus, yeah, or whatever his name yeah, is. Same. He's Thaddeus. I don't know.
Something and he seems very like, are you sure you really, like, I don't know. I liked his vibe.
I liked him a lot too. And I think Kingfisher and him are like bros.
Yes.
They seem like they trust each other at least. So I'm like interested to see like how he helps her. And obviously like the war is going to be against Belkin and the Silver Queen Madra or whatever her name is. But there's more than just these two realms. Like there's more than yeah. just the realm we're in and the realm that Saris came from. So like what other realms are going to play a role? And then like how many other characters and shit do you need to then introduce when like we kind of already have a full cast?
And kind of to your point too about like another love interest, like she, I feel like talking to authors, we've learned about like loose ends, right? Like a lot of authors tend to write different avenues that they can either wrap up quickly or kind of build upon. So I think she's left herself a very wide range of potential avenues to go down. But to your point, I think this can go obviously multiple ways, but like I feel like it's really easy, especially in a fantasy book, to go down the path of like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or where are you bringing us? Like she really could focus maybe a bit too much on the second love story. She could focus a little bit too much on them being separated. Maybe Sarah, whatever her name is, like is still too stubborn and not sitting down in a library and learning. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a lot, and I don't mean to be like the Debbie Downer because there's obviously a lot of potential here too. But
yeah.
Like, I'm going to play the Debbie Downer for 10 seconds because, well, and I think it's because you and I, we love fantasy books, but you and I are like, we don't sing the praises of many. So to
right.
me, like, when a fantasy book is a mediocre fantasy book, it's a mediocre fantasy book. Whereas like a mediocre romance book, I would still probably recommend because it's probably just a decent read and it's, you know what I mean? It's a romance book.
There's more, you have to invest more energy into a fantasy book because you have to like learn a new world and learn a new magic system. So there's more investment of time. And most fantasy books are obviously a series too, or like a romance book is normally in the real world, so there's not like any world building that you need to do, and it's a one and done 300 pages, maybe 400. Like,
yeah,
there's less of a commitment or less of an investment of energy spent on a romance book, which like I hate to say that because like romance is my genre of choice, but it is true. Like you can invest more in the characters and the story and less on the background info, where a fantasy book I have to really believe in the background info to have an investment in the characters.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. And again, like, and I don't mean to keep bringing up the side romance that I completely forgot about and the names you're saying this. And I'm like, I don't, don't ask me questions. And of course you ask me, like, do you not agree? I'm like, oh, these bitches. But, you know, I mean, like, you can, I don't want to focus in on that. Like, sure, give me glimpses. Them sneaking off together, maybe like the blushing or like the coziness together. But, like, I don't want to focus on that. Like, there's so much more that I want to learn about.
Yeah.
Can, like, she do anything? What is she, like, give me that. Give me, you and I crave more of the plot in fantasy books. And, like, I want a good plot.
Yeah.
I want an intriguing plot.
Yes. And right. Like, I mean, right. Because now if, say, if King, we're like jumping ahead to the next book, but whatever. If Fisher and Ceres are separated in the next book, does that mean that, like, in order to get that, like, romance vibe that people crave, are we going to have to, like, see more romance maybe between Ren and Lane when, like, I don't care. It's cute. Yeah. Like, sure. Like, they could be together, but, like, I just don't care. I'm invested in Fisher and Ceres, and I want mm-hmm. to see more of that. And I want to see, I just feel like they're both at this point now too powerful. Like, and if his, like, Quicksilver, like, you know, at the end, like, he's like, he's not cured of the Quicksilver, but he's, you know, it's definitely, like, more at bay, and they have, like, the fates kind of, like, on their side a little bit, which, like, they're not allowed to interfere, but, like, obviously things are going to, at the end, go their way because, you know, the fates, whatever.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they're almost too powerful, so they have to be separated. Because, like, the two of them together, why couldn't they then take on Belican, who, like, Kingfisher, I think, is at his strongest, he's stronger than Belican. Mm-hmm. And Madra's just a human. So now with, like, Ceres being half fae, half vampire, wouldn't the two of them together outnumber Belican and Madra?
And even Carrion, like,
yeah, and Carrion, blood, yeah.
Like, so you know what I mean? So it's like that you've introduced him now too. So, like, again, and because he's a likable character to so many, I don't want to see him get pushed to the wings either. Like, I want to see what he can do. Like, please don't make him boring. Like, please keep him the same way. Like,
yeah, but also don't make him just be like this, like this guy who's just there to, like, fuck random people and, like, be silly.
Agree.
Like, I would like to see more of him because I feel like his background is so interesting, and he is very well versed on, like, the history and, like, everything, because his grandma, he's basically been, like, he was stored away in the human realm for centuries, over 100 years,
well educated in terms of, like, because his grandma was like, you basically need to know all this because one day there will be a reason for it.
Yeah, so he's had many grandmas, basically.
Basically.
I think, like, three or whatever, because he's over 100 years old, and he's been stuck in the human realm, and he's basically a family of women have, like, agreed to just, like, kind of, like, take him in as their own. But I want to talk about the ages, since we're bringing that up, how, like, Kingfisher, okay, it really bothered me that he's, like, 1,800 years old.
Yes. I think that was a little extreme, in my opinion.
Too extreme. Okay. If Ceres is in her mid-20s, and he's 1,800, this is not... Okay. I, 200 years old, 500 years old, 800 years old, and a 20-year-old. I'm okay. 1,800 years? No.
It just doesn't seem... Just no.
It's a little too old. Like, it's a little too old.
I was kind of, when I had assumed he was going to be immortal, essentially. Like,
yeah, no, very, I knew he was, like, an immortal fae. Like, yeah.
Yeah. In my mind, I think my go-to age is, like, 500. Like, 800 for me is almost, like, creeping towards, like, middle-aged.
Okay, and that's the thing, too. Like, if he's 1,800 but looks to be about 30, then... Does that mean that, like, he can live to be, like, 10,000 years old? And, like, yeah, that's, like, when he would, like, die of old age? Like, what is the...
What?
It just... I don't like the 1,800 years. Also, no. I just feel like somebody who's 1,800 years old has been around for too long, and it's very weird to be into a 20-something-year-old.
I agree.
Because that, to me, like, would feel like this is a child. Mm-hmm. I'm so old and ancient that, like, this is a child.
Agreed.
And he does make comments about how she's, like, so fresh and new, whatever. Yes. But also, like, okay, if you're 1,800 years old, sorry, not to be that kind of girl, but, like, how many people have you been with? Who are all your exes? Have you fucked everybody in this realm? Because at that many years, you kind of run out of options. So do you just, have you been with everybody in this realm?
Everybody. And don't get me wrong, 500-year-olds get around too. But
it's just 1,800 years is so crazy.
It's too much.
I was like, there's no way. I was like, this is a joke. They're all playing a joke.
Yeah, there was a couple points where I was like, did I miss something again? Yeah. Like, did I look at something incorrectly?
Yeah. You know, I was like. Or
even if, like, you wanted someone, make them 800, but then make her, like, 26. I don't know. Like, just.
I think she's, like, 24.
Yeah, she's not that far off of 30. Like, well, she's definitely older than 20.
Yeah. I think she's 24. I could be wrong. Which is a great age for a female main character in a fantasy romance. The 1,800 years is really,
it threw me for a loop for a second.
It did. Another thing that, it's not like a complaint, it's something that I wanted to talk about. How Ceres was, like, basically, like, neutered. How she was, like, they call it cleansing.
I agree.
She's like, I can't have children, Fisher. I was cleansed when I was 14. And, like, he brings this, like, it kind of shocks him. He, like, can't believe that this happened. And then he says something to Madra, like, about how, like, she, like, fixed Ceres. Basically, like a dog would get fixed. And I just want to say that I really hope, I hope that this storyline, like, isn't dropped in the future. I, like, hope it's explored, but I hope that she's not, like, cured of that now that she became Fae, and that it's, like, this, like, magical fix. Now all of a sudden, like, one day she's just gonna, like, be pregnant, like, at the end of the story, and be like, "Oh, I must have been fixed when I became Fae." Like, maybe, I don't know. I just feel like if it's brought up that this terrible thing has happened, I feel like I don't want to see an easy fix, because this is, like, unfortunately, this is something that happens to women still in today's day and age. So I think that we need to, I will be not happy about it if, like, there's just this, like, magical fix.
I think it does a disservice. And I think this gives people, or women, is both, someone to relate to, right? Like, there's a lot of people out there that cannot have children. And I think sometimes it is nice to give main characters traits that maybe aren't as prevalent in humans, but like, it's there are people, so
yeah,
it is kind of nice. But I'm with you, like, do not quick fix this shit. Do not impregnate her somehow, some way,
right? Because, like, don't write something so horrific just for there to be this, like, quick fix. Like, this is a horrible thing that happened to her.
Yes,
and it's a disgusting thing that they're doing to women in her, like, in her home. And if all of a sudden, like, they're just like, oh, well, I'm Fae now, so it doesn't matter anymore, like, that will actually enrage me.
I agree. I'm very with you.
Good. I'm glad.
No, like, full. Even when I was reading, I was like, wow, this is really fucked up. And I thought the same thing, too. I was like, please don't fucking reverse this shit. Like, I don't want to.
No.
Just don't.
And then, no, yeah, same. And then moving on from that, just, like, the spicy scenes.
I was literally looking through my notes, and I was like, I landed on, like, the spicy scenes.
Yeah, no, I just got to one. I'll fill every one of those pretty little holes. I'll fuck you so hard you'll never want another male ever again. And then she says that, like, and then there's a part where when she's like saying words in her head, I'm like, oh, they're mind talking. Like, she doesn't realize it. Like, I immediately clocked that these two were, like, gonna be able to mind talk. Yes. And, like, I thought the tattoo, like, when they're, like, it happens the first time when, like, the bird, like, leaves him and, like, travels down onto her. I thought that was so cool.
I thought that was really cool, too.
And I don't want to compare things to ACOTAR, but, like, her getting the runes on her hand when they, like, kind of accepts the mate, like, the mating bond, that is, like, so Pharah and Rhys-coded, like, the hand tattoos with the mating bond. Which I know, I'm sure that Sarah Jamass isn't the first one to write that either. But immediately it came to mind, I was like, oh, well, I've seen this before.
Yes. It also gave, I was curious about the author, like, PC and God, what's the other author's name? Their last name is Cass. They wrote, I have to look up the series now. It almost, this was a fantasy-ish series. Like, it was set in modern, it was like an urban fantasy before urban fantasies existed, and they were vampires, and you got markings. So the first book is called Marked, and they, like, they were beautiful scrolls around your face, like they would go down your arms. Like, it almost gave me those kind of vibes too. And then okay. Things developed on them as, like, they continue to grow their power. So I was like, oh my God, are they, like, fans of this one series? Like, I read when I was, like, 13, because, like, it's giving the same kind of vibe.
And also, like, the runes also remind me of, what's nice that here. Series that we read? But, oh my God, his name is Jace. They're in love. Mortal Instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the runes that they, like...
Remember those days when we were, like, obsessed with that series?
Yeah, and I heard that, like, the prequel series, Clockwork Princess, or, like, that, those, like, those books are so good, and now I'm like, do I read those?
Like, do I do this?
I think I might have to.
I'm pulling up one of the book titles so you can see what I'm talking about. But I was like, it's PC and Kristen Cass. They're, like, a mother-daughter duo. It's called the House of Night series. It really much, like, a lot of this book in terms of the vampires,
mm-hmm.
the different, like, how, and then there was, like, another, I don't want to say creature, that's not the right word, but, like, another hybrid of vampire created that, like, was very, like, on the side, like, the school didn't realize that this was occurring, like, somehow, like, these other kinds of vampires were being made.
Mm-hmm.
They, on their bodies, like, they literally found out that they were what they were based on, like, I know you probably can't see, like, but the marks, like, yeah. And they would all travel, and, like, the more you had, the more powerful you were. I literally was, like, sitting there, I was like, I really want to, like, message this author, like, are you a fan of this these authors? Did you read this series? Because it's giving this I mean, good series to base it off of, if that's the case.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, just, I don't know. I actually got to the point where, and again, I like a spicy scene. There's some kind of dirty talk where I'm like, stop.
It's almost like, I don't want to say it's like too dirty. It's almost like,
it doesn't
fit. Like, enough. Yeah,
enough. And, like, I feel like he almost border, like, I feel like he wanted to be more, like, derogatory, but, like, was obsessed with her. But, like, so I was like, I feel like this isn't fitting for the mold that you're wanting to. Here is this broody guy who all of a sudden turns simp to the point where, like, it's insta-lovey, which doesn't make sense. And now he's kind of, like, speaking down to her in the bedroom, but, like, obsessed with her on the flip side of, like, being a simp again. And I was like, this isn't making sense. But again, I think there were too many spicy scenes. I started to skim.
I think that this could have, if you guys want our expert opinion. I think that it could have been done better if, so in the beginning, kind of like enemies to lovers, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that if they, cause like, I kind of liked like that she like was really bad at when they like, the terms of their agreement, how like she like didn't like, again, another thing that she probably could have learned if she just like listened to somebody, hey, when you make an agreement with Faye, when you make a bargain with a Faye, you have to be real. No, she doesn't want to know anybody. She doesn't want to know about anybody else's things because she has her brother.
She has to get back.
I have to get back to Hayden. Oh my God, your brother sucks. Let him die. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. As I was saying, no, the bargain, I was a little annoyed that he kind of like forced her to do things, but at the same time, I was on both sides of them there, where I was like, okay, like, he's forcing her because she's so stubborn that, like, he's literally trying to save her and she's being a brat. And then I was on her side being like, do not fucking tell me what to do.
Yeah.
But where was I going with this? Oh, I would have loved, like, that kind of being, like, the beginning. Him kind of, and knowing their backstory now, how, like, his mother kind of, like, foretold that this girl was coming and like she was his mate and had the pick, he knew what to expect.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when he sees her, I kind of get it too. He's not in a good place.
No.
And wanting to like kind of protect her from himself. So I would have loved to see kind of like you, what you said, this like tension-y, like kind of like I hate you, but like I love you type of thing. And then yeah. I would have loved to see them growing closer, like working in the forge together, like day and night working in the forge and kind of like having these like really sincere moments.
Yeah.
And then I would have the ending in his like declaration would have meant more, where I was just like, I don't know how you go from like this to this without there being this in the middle.
I agree. They literally went from enemies to lovers to insta-love. And it, like you said, there's a gap.
Yes. And I do appreciate a little bit. Kingfisher knew ahead of time that Saris was his mate. He knew the whole time. So I think him getting to the point of like, I'm in love with you quicker made more sense, because he was expecting it and he knew longer than she did.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that she didn't accept the mating bond right away. Even when he accepts it, she still doesn't. It isn't until she's talking to the Fates and she says like, oh, Kingfisher is my mate, that like they're like, okay, or whoever she's talking to, when she says it finally, that it's like, okay, like that was her accepting it. She like doesn't really accept. She doesn't, right, like she doesn't do it on purpose, which like I kind of also would have been annoyed if she like, if it like ran out or whatever.
Yeah,
she's not like consciously like looking at him being like, yes, I accept our mating bond. She just kind of like says it and is like, oh, like I guess that means that that we're mates. And then like it kind of like clicks into place for her. So I'm happy that she didn't just accept it right off the bat, but I still am annoyed that like we got it so quickly and like without really believing that they're like so madly in love with each other.
I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah. But I mean, we just complained a whole lot, but I really did like it.
But like, how else are we supposed to talk about a book if we're not going to nitpick it all apart?
No, right. But there was like a lot that I did like about it too. Like I like, yes, when they go to like the fair or like wherever they're at, when they go to like, yeah, it's not a fair, but when, and he brings her, it's the first time they sleep together, I think. He brings her to like the cottage, yeah, that like used to be his mother's. I liked the villains. Like I thought the villains were done well. I think it's like cool that they were all kind of like working together. I'm happy that the vampire guy's dead. He sucked. Like he basically just like wanted to fuck Fisher. So he like,
yes.
Like that's literally it. It was so weird. It was so weird. The whole like maze that kept, so Fisher didn't even realize he was gone for 100 years. He was just like trying to save his people the whole time.
And like never had to eat or sleep. Could you imagine? That's some sort of torture right there.
Yeah, like I don't think he realized that he was missing for over 100 years. I think he like didn't realize, because there was just, it was just like an endless loop. I thought the nickname was really cute. Like Osha, I knew like, oh, a butterfly. I knew it was going to come back around to be like something like nice.
Cute, yeah.
Kingfisher's just the worst name. I'm trying to think of like anything else. The ending I thought was cool. Again, it was
with Boss. Yeah,
not like, to compare it to ACOTAR, but like they're, when like that thing is like chasing them and it's like only like based on, I was like, okay, is this, I know it wasn't a worm, but it was like another kind of insect.
Yeah.
There was just like little things that I was like, this is a little picked from here, a little picked from here. Kind of like the Fae have like teeth and they suck blood and they get, and then like they get super aroused. I was like, what is, like, okay, Kestiel.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, a little bit, right? Like,
no, I agree.
I'm actually more intrigued by the Fates now that we know that they're real and they like exist somewhere through the they either are the Quicksilver or they exist in the Quicksilver or
something.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the world. I'm intrigued by the magic, because I think there's a lot more magic that like we don't even know about yet.
This could be something really cool.
Yes. I really enjoyed it, even though it doesn't sound like we did, probably by the way that we were just talking about it. But I'm worried for the second book. I am definitely going to read it. I'm worried because it can go south.
Yeah. I'm with you.
But
with you, sister.
Next week, potentially, we will have an episode, or we might not, because I'm traveling. So if we don't have time to record before I leave, then you guys are on your own. We are trying to set up an interview for the second week of March with Morgan Elizabeth with her new book, but we are waiting to hear back. to make sure that her schedule works with our schedule as far as interviewing goes. So again, TBD on that. And then we are going to be reviewing Wild Side by Elsie Silver, which Katie read. I have not read yet. And then Promise Me Sunshine by Cara Bastone, which I have read, but Katie has not read yet.
Look at us right there.
I'm going to reread it because I read Promise Me Sunshine back in December. And it wasn't that. I mean, it was 2 months ago, but I...
So true.
I just made the... Okay, so Wild Side and Promise Me Sunshine come out on the same day. They come out next Tuesday, the 4th. The 4th.
It's the 4th.
Okay. Yeah, they both come out on the 4th. And I was making my edits because I was like, I put together a bunch of edits for Promise Me Sunshine because I'm, like I said, I'm going to be on vacation next week. I don't want to worry about it. And I was like going through the, and I was like, I need to reread this. So I think I might reread it. And also I just want to be fresh for the episode. So I'm definitely going to reread that. I do plan on reading Wild Side while I'm on the beach next week. And yeah, so definitely. TBD for the next 2 weeks, but the end of the month, we'll have Wild Side and Promise Me Sunshine.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Do you have any other announcements or anything you need to say, Katie Jean?
I think that's it. Though you and I both have read, did you finish The Rebel Witch?
I did.
Okay. So if we do a spilling of tea, you will hear us probably discussing a duology, a romantasy duology.
You will hear us. It'll probably be a spilling the tea, aka a Heartless Hunter, Rebel Witch. Honestly, that's really what it's all going to be about, because that's all we've been really thinking about for the past few days. I finished it. It's a very good duology. Speaking of very frustrating characters that you want to kill. Ooh. I wrote my review and I was like, I don't know if I want to smack their heads together to knock them out or to force them to kiss.
I will say, if I can muster through, this is not as bad. Their stubbornness is not as bad as book 5 of the ZA series.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you've heard it here for first. Or that one book, Lady of Darkness.
Oh, I DNF'd book 3 in that series and I never went back.
I know. So just keep in mind that they're annoying, but there's, we'll talk our levels. Like Katie, who's the worst, is able to get through it. Teresa, who has a hell of a lot more of a backbone to get through, was fine going through. You just want to smack them.
You do want to smack them, but in a good way, because the writing is so magnificent and the story is just,
it's done
so well that I can forgive the characters for making me want to punch them. So Spilling the Tea / Heartless Hunter duology, whatever it's called, the Crimson Moth duology. But yeah, I have nothing else. I think that's it. So we can let you go. Katie Jean, you can totally send us out. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.